to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout.
Welp, I have been on a bit of a staycation the last week. And with that, and I was doing a social media blackout, a news blackout, and it was nice. And the only news, though, that did manage to permeate through my blackout was, since like I was drunk, the news of Chadwick Boseman passing. And we did a tribute episode to him on this week's Rewind, so be sure to check that out. And even now, I'm still finding out, I'm sure you are as well, amazing information about just how amazing and wonderful this man was, that he was the one that insisted to Marvel that he was going to have, they were like, oh, you should have a South African accent. He was like, no, whole entire idea is that this is I am a king of a country that has been untouched by colonialism. So he fought to make sure that it was more of an authentic African dialect. Pioneer, amazing, great reads and articles about just celebrating that man. Anyways, I digress. So on Monday, catching up on all the news that I had been missing out, and I kept hearing the word Kenosha being bandied about in my various podcasts, and I was like, huh? Where in the world is that place? That sounds like the X-Men fictitious island Genosha. Is it in the Caribbean? No idea. About the horror that I managed to not know about for an entire week. It has been heartbreaking, infuriating, terrifying to catch up on this. The state of the world, it must be 2020 because something shitty happened in 1 week. So this week, I'm not ready or in a space where I can emotionally, thoughtfully unpack that. I need a little distance from that this week, so we're going to do something a little different. We have two guest co-hosts here this week. It must be a Latin explosion. I don't really know if I could say that. I probably shouldn't say that, but I just did. And you know what's even worse? I said it, and then I left it in the episode. Anyways, first up, we love him. It's Avi Roque. They've been on the show before. You know him. They are a Latinx, trans, non-binary, queer actor and artist based in LA. And we have a chat about cancel culture based on an experience that Avi had recently on social media, which always seems to happen to them. Also inspired by Willow Smith. Oh yeah, we go in there. We talk about using social media for social activism, how to come correct when challenging someone on social media, and we explore the ideas of shame versus guilt. Very different. One's more effective than the other. Then in our next segment, our resident Afro-Latina comedian Glory is here. We dive into something that has been weighing heavy on her. And she is coming for fellow Afro-Latina Zoe Saldana, who played Nina Simone, which that opens up into a deep conversation about Afro-Latinx heritage, and specifically Dominican history, slavery, colorism, and just how deep anti-blackness is. And also, John Leguizamo, we have some words for you too, as Glory has a call out for colorism within the Latinx community and exclusion of Afro-Latinos. Then Avi's gonna come back and we're gonna finish with a big hug. It's a beautiful self-care little segment. We're gonna do something that we actually rarely do here on the pod, which is talk about relationships. It's weird. We don't really talk about that here. And you know what? Right now, we need a little bit of self-care today, this week, nurturing our personal relationships, especially in these times. And if you aren't in a relationship, that's okay. Me neither. But our most important relationship is really with ourselves anyways. And We're still doing the work on ourselves, on our relationships, our future relationships. So Avi's going to rejoin us and walk us through an exercise using the Anti-Violence Project's Power and Control Wheel for queer partnerships. And listen, if you're straight, you're still going to get something out of this. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. But I mean, come on. Sexuality, it's a spectrum. Everybody's a little bit something, right? Exactly. So it is a lot on this episode. I'm very excited about it. It's chock full of so many different things. You're in for a biggin of an episode. Get ready to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner. Let's go. Speaking of conversations, you've been having some conversations on the Instagram. I've been giving you snaps because I've really loved your form of activism and protest with, you know, Black Lives Matter and Black Trans Lives Matter. But you've run into a certain situation recently on the social media.
Yeah. And I don't think it's a real severe situation, but
come on,
it was
we
just
hype up the drama.
That, okay.
Somebody said something to you, and we need to unpack this.
but also, like, that could have been me taking, like, you know, yes,
fair.
Let's explain. Let's unpack it.
Let's catch the corner kids up.
I've been trying to explore graphic design in a very basic way.
I'm so proud of you. You know I'm such a stage mom because I'm just like, oh, Avi, you're doing so great. Snaps.
Because here was my logic. I feel like I am an artistic person as well. Like, I love to draw and do art in that form.
Yes.
So I was like, rather than just copying and pasting someone else's image that is just trending, why don't I sit down and take the time to actually, like, create something from me?
Yes.
And so I started doing that, but it's
and snaps to you because I have just been like, copy paste, like, or I'm like, you know how you can, like, take a screenshot and just, like, cut it out, like,
yeah.
So snaps to you for creating your own image, because I've just been stealing everyone else's photos. I probably
have stolen some
of yours.
Oh, no tea, no shade. It's okay.
Yes,
it's fine. At least you're still posting and
yes.
you're amplifying other people's work.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta tag them.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry. I have to go back and now look at the photo. I'm pretty sure I stole of yours.
Oh,
I'll tag
goodness.
You, I swear.
How awful. Wow. Anyways, so one I did was Black Trans Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And someone, like, sent me a message in my DMs. And it was someone I've worked with on a short film who was, like, on the crew, mm-hmm. on the production side. And it was just a link, it was just their post that mm-hmm. they had done recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read it because there was this quote that said, if you are not saying each and every Black woman, trans, non-binary, disabled name with your chest, you are not with it. If your Black liberation does not include all Black folks, you are not for Black liberation. Come correct. And then in another, it was like a slideshow. What is that slideshow?
Oh, yeah, it's like a slide.
Where
yeah,
there was
scroll.
More than one image in the post. But it said this is, or in their, in
their
the
message.
Text. Thank
okay.
you. In the mm-hmm. text of the post. This is not a call out. It's a call to action.
Hmm.
And so in my head, I was like, oh, okay, cool. First it was like, oh, okay, sweet. I haven't, this person was so
like,
cool
oh,
on set.
Look. Oh, I haven't heard from Georgina in a while or whatever.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was totally their name. And
your BFF, Georgina.
No. And I was like, cool. Like, absolutely. Like, yeah, okay. And then my head went to like, oh, wait. Is this person being like, yes, thank you, like, you're right, you're coming correct, like, that's, like, solidarity, because,
totally.
Like, they knew I was trans, non-binary,
yeah.
like, and so, but then that, what is that, like,
little voice inside of the back of your head,
little voice in the back of your head that is like, oh, wait, but, or is this person, like,
attacking you,
right, or is this
your
person, like, saying
flight,
something,
freeze kicks in,
saying something that, like, maybe I didn't do it, maybe I wasn't showing up correct, you know,
right.
but that's again my own insecurities.
Yes, right, they're there. It's there, in which I appreciate
there.
You able to also acknowledge.
Yeah,
you know,
and And I think there's also this thing around social media that I carry too. I don't know if we touched on this in our last episode or if you and I just in general have discussed this, but there was a social media situation that I was a part of.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yes.
You've been burned by social media, I have to say. Like, I don't have many friends in my life who've... You got burned by social media, and it was ugly and it was nasty. It was like one of the... I'm so upset that like what ended up happening to you, and I thought it was inappropriate, right, incorrect. And I think, I don't know, when people just get so personal and attacking. So I understand, and I also applaud you because I think you have a really big heart. You're always really trying to do the right thing and be the right thing and do as much good as you possibly can. And I don't know, like sometimes I don't know why they be coming at you, but at least that means that you're probably doing something. When you get all like, you're in the arena, you know, and when you're in the arena, there's all these people on the sidelines who are going to poke and prod at what you're doing and how you're doing it. And I think sometimes one of the challenges with progressive movements is like everybody has their way that they think there's sometimes a purity test, their way of the way that they think it needs to be done or should be done. And there has, I really encourage folks to have room for grace for people because not everyone's going to get everything perfect, and having like the right approach to go about it. I do like it, the way that they finished it. They said, this is not a call out, but it's a call to action. So I kind of appreciated that. But the rest of it, you all can't see this. Everything's in all caps. Was it in all caps? That's too intense.
You know, I mean, it was
in all caps?
It was like a black background and like orange letters, all caps. But like, again, it's like, I'm about that. Like, yes, okay.
All right.
So I'm almost like, I don't want to, because I am trying to be like, defend and stand up for this person who was this is what I need to do right now. And maybe there was, you know, this fire in them that was motivating them to do and make the decision that they did. You know? So it's like, okay.
And I do, there is a lot of like giving grace too on both sides. I like what you're saying. Cause in this moment, there's a lot of raw energy, you know, cause I know I definitely have popped off. Like I have zero time for white fragility anymore or white people who are just like in the way of like, yeah, but you know, Joe Biden this and we got to get fucked at. It's going to be Trump or Joe Biden. Like that's it, you know? So it's like, there's just certain things that I don't have, you know, that there's a, so I appreciate like you're giving them space of like, they're very raw right now. There's a lot in this moment.
Absolutely. And I don't think they were coming for me, you know,
you know, my mama bear kicked in. I'm like, who is this? Georgina, we need to have a conversation.
No. I just found it odd that it was just the post and nothing else in my DM. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like,
hey, what's up? Like, thank you. Or
just almost like they're just going around attack, like, you know, just, you know, sharing it to people.
I think just sharing,
personally,
not attacking.
I don't think that this is I personally wouldn't go this route. Like, I would have written something to you. I think just sending someone, this is a meme. You essentially got a meme in your DM, and that, to me, a meme they designed or whatnot. And I think, like, I don't know, like, I think, Lovely, you're in the right space to be able to take this well, but I think for some people, this would shut them down. This isn't a conversation starter. It's a shutdown to me, I think. And I think that there's a better way to sort of do this, because this kind of goes into, you were saying that, cancel culture. Were you saying Willow Smith was saying something?
Willow Smith on the Red Table. There's a little article. I'm going to just try to...
Oh, she said this on Red Table Talk?
I think so. Red Table Talk. Yes.
It was
an honor.
Show with her mom. With Jada Pinkett Smith, who I love and adore. I'm a fan of the Smiths.
Oh, yes, I've heard.
It's unpopular. I think that the Smith kids are kind of ahead of their time sometimes. Because the other Jaden Smith be saying some shit and people are like, what the fuck is he talking about? I'm like, I kind of get it. Because he's very much, he's like a crystal lady, you know?
I love that. You're a fan.
I love crystal people to a point. Sometimes it can be like, what's the action? Sometimes you can be so ahead of the game that you're like not even in the game anymore. Does that make sense? Like, you're so ethereal, but it's like, that's cute and that's a great idea, but we're still dealing with the shit down here.
No, Willow Smith is speaking openly, as this article says, about cancel culture and how it doesn't really like do anything or really maybe facilitate or motivate change, because there's feels like there's for me, maybe this is just coming from me, but like I feel like there's just so much shame that happens.
Sure.
Yeah. Instinctively as a result, and there's fear, and it's just like, oh my gosh, but you need to look at it, as they say, as an opportunity, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to ask questions, an opportunity to look deeper and really see what you can do. But it doesn't erase the fact that there's still like, whoa, like some kind of trauma that I think happens. Maybe that's a little extreme, but
Listen, we are walking bags of trauma, if nothing. And because generational trauma is real and our own personal trauma is real, but it doesn't give us license to just like, well, I'm traumatized. Like, bitch, everybody's traumatized. Okay. Right. Like, let's, you got to work through your shit. It's interesting that when you said something brought me, because I actually like, it's not that I'm not for or against cancel culture. I think it has its time and it has its place. I think things can get canceled, but things can also get renewed, right? Like your favorite TV show, oh, it got canceled. Oh, they're bringing it back.
Oh, I
like
love that.
It's possible, because I think Mel Gibson canceled, right? But we renewed him and he should not have been renewed. Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby, canceled. Because like there has to be like I'm all for grace, right? Like people fuck. And depending on the fuck up, like not everybody's fuck up is the same level. So it's really got to be, I think, case by case. And it's also the apology after, like, I'm sorry you were offended is never an apology. But and then there's like the work that, like, a lot of these people that are being canceled have platforms, right? So it's like, what are they now doing with their platform and the conversations that they're having, you know? Like, again, like Oprah, based on her comments before when she was interviewing trans people on her show, like, again, it's also you have to look at things through a historical lens, right? There's things that you and I are probably saying right now that in 40 years, our grandkids are going to be like, what the fuck were you guys saying? You know, like we might be behind the times. So it's like I wanting to give grace for there's things that like when I look back, this disclosure documentary looks back at like Ace Ventura, which is one of my favorite movies as a kid. But in the end is incredibly trans and homophobic in the very end when it reveals who the villain was, that it was, oh, she's really a man. And the way that the joke is done, it's. But as a kid, I'm not really taking that necessarily in. Subconsciously, I might, though, which is kind of goes to like how things and stereotypes and people get vilified. But so, but then I look back at it now and it's like, oh, God, right? But at the time, we didn't have these dialogues or these words or these conversations. And so I think it's like giving space for people to grow. And I also like, it's also fun just be like, ooh, they canceled. So I kind of love doing that. But also people can get canceled. I think they can get renewed. I think that people, I do appreciate there's sometimes a rush to be such allies and to clear out all the, you know, oppression that we have been feeling from, you know, white people and men and, you know, straight people. But I think we can be a little bit quick to get rid of stuff. Because like you were saying, it doesn't allow for the discussion. There needs to be still a discussion. And some people are not interested in having that discussion. Like, I don't think Mel Gibson is. So he's still canceled. Woody Allen, like, you've been canceled. Like, why are we... And it's weird how, like, some things get more canceled than others. I don't know. That's my soapbox.
No, very good soapbox. Very good. I'm with you. And I'm also just like, there was just a quote from the article from Tamika D. Mallory, who was on this Red Table Talk, just said that shaming is a little dangerous and people need to be given room to grow since none of us are perfect. So I think it's like the shaming that is just like,
oh, fair.
Let's investigate. Because people, that. I mean,
shame, Brene Brown talks about this. Like, shame is like, it's a very difficult emotion for people to get out of, you know? Guilt is one thing because you're like, oh man, okay, well, I won't do that again. Like, a little bit of healthy guilt can be healthy, but shame is deep. Because, like, guilt is I did a bad thing, shame is I am a bad thing.
Oh my, don't even. Oh, story of my life.
So, we want to get away from that. Yeah, like, oh, I did a bad thing. Of course, I fucked up. I can, for, you know, but then it's something I did something bad, not I am something bad. So wanting to, like, you know, move away from that. We going deep today.
Oh my goodness.
Gotta reflect and unearth.
Absolutely.
All right. right, let's kick it over to your corner, Glory, Glory.
Thank you, James. So today we're going to talk about how Dominicans are problematic, and we're going to give a spotlight.
Oh. We are coming in hard. And I do want to caveat, you're Dominican.
I am. Yeah, you want to let the people know, right?
So it's not like just...
That's what we don't get.
Who is this?
Who the fuck?
Who's this girl coming in? She can say these things, right. So Dominicans, Glory, take the floor. Right.
Dominicans are problematic, and today we're going to highlight a problematic Dominican and problematic Gemini, Zoe Saldana. But first, all Black people across the diaspora, we're fighting for the same thing, which is we're fighting against hegemony and the white systems that exist. So when I started earlier in this pandemic with the Black Lives Matter movement taking on a new momentum, I've always known, like, I never said I stand with Black Lives Matter. I am Black, you know? So I'm like, this is all of our fight. And I started noticing some Dominicans and other Latinx, but I'm gonna focus on Dominicans because this is the history that I needed to focus on for my personal growth. They were like, I stand with Black Lives Matter. Excuse me? What? You are right in this. We're in the same vicinity. So I started doing some digging because I'm like, you know, I am Dominican, but I'm more first generation, and I really acknowledge more my Blackness than like my actual, because people always forget that race is not your nationality or your culture. Race is, I see race as more like phenotype, but because of Dominicans and how diverse we are, there's also the bloodline aspect, which I'm going to get to, which I know I've been the Afro-Latina resident, but I'm about to clear up any questions y'all had in all of my guest appearances. So I identify as Afro-Latina, and I do that because, you know, I have physical features that are prominently more Black, and in the American context, because on the island, people really are more about like, oh, you look more white, like you're darker, so they call you by your color. And that's where people confuse the race and the colorism shit comes into place. Right. So the issue is that there are Latino people that look more mixed and that are white Latinos. But the issue with Afro-Latinidad and like the fact that everybody's kind of claiming it now, like it's like, oh, my hair's curly, I'm Afro-Latina. It's like, no, bitch.
That's not how this works.
You use Shea Moisture and you're trying to get a sponsored ad. That's not Afro-Latinidad. So I grew up and I was like, I don't have a term for it. I'm just a Black girl. But I started noticing that when people found out I spoke Spanish, they was like, oh, you're not a Black girl. Like, you're something else. And I'm like, what, bitch? Wow. So I was like, that's like a privilege of being treated a little bit different by the white man. So I noticed that really, because a lot of us don't do the identity work until we kind of have to. So like me being first generation and being this Dominican family, but going into like high school, I'm like, the Dominican people don't fuck with me. All the Black people embrace me. So I'm like, okay, this is who I am, identity. And then when you go to work and to college, you're like, okay, white people are involved now. What the fuck is this about? Right? Because, you know,
they're going to throw their two cents into it of like, oh, this is what I think you are.
Right. So boom. So that's as important to get the context, right? So in my research, I was like, okay, are all Dominicans Afro-Latinos, essentially? Essentially, the answer is yes, because of the bloodline. Phenotypically, but then I feel like there's areas where you're like, okay, I need to use discernment, because not only am I my bloodline Afro-Latinidad, but to the unfortunately, the white man determines race, I feel like, right? So whatever they think you are, that's how you, whatever, you deciphered. So when you're in the context of America, you know, you can pass for different things, whatever. Long story short, we're going to get to Zoe Saldana in a second. But it's important, right? You're like, okay, where is this
going? You got to lay down the groundwork. You got to lay down the groundwork before we can then go in on Zoe Saldana.
Right, so boom.
Which I'm a fan, so, but I'm coming in with open heart and open ears.
Did you notice that she had like a decline? Because we're about to get to that. Like she was about to be that bitch.
But she then.
But then she. But what about to say?
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
So the reason, if people don't know what the diaspora is, it just really means you come from Africa. Everybody comes from Africa, but there was this whole, you know, this transatlantic slave trade, which a lot of people don't know, and people don't teach you. The first stop on that transatlantic slave trade was in the Dominican Republic.
Okay.
Right, and then people don't know that it was because that was the first. like not real, but like the first Americas. Like it was like the first city.
Right.
That's where like Christopher Columbus and his brother like was like, we gonna be here. And Haiti was right next door because it used to be Quisqueya, right. But then Haiti was conquered by the French and we were conquered by the Spaniards. But there's also like an issue between like the Haitians and Dominicans, but it's because of the relationship we had with the people that conquered us. So in Spain, they were like, let's try to delete your blackness and integrate you into society, which is still kind of like the theme that is still runs through the Dominican culture. And in Haiti, they were more like, let's all be pro-black and overthrow shit.
Right.
So there was a lot of...
Yeah, they did. Right.
And they were the first black nation to overthrow their slaves. I mean, not the slaves, the colonizers. Boom.
And wasn't there also, we talked about this on the show, Hispaniola, they had a successful rebellion as well.
Well, Hispaniola is the country. It's the whole country. Oh. But people don't... That's why it's like, why are we beefing? We are literally the same person, but... We had got conquered by different people and have different, like, there's still part, the thing is that all of our cultural things, they stem back to Africa. So, like, we still have, like, Los Palos, and we still eat plantains, and it's all very black. But, like, the Dominicans, like, they just been through so much, like, being conquered, and then we had a dictatorship in the 60s. Boom. So now we move into the 60s. In the 60s, a lot of Dominicans migrated to the United States because there wasn't, like, proper infrastructure in place. So they was like, we don't got no water. We need water. We need to take a shower. Bye. There's still no light in DR. We gotta go. So boom, we come to the United States, and this is where people are like, because of the history of black Americans with the whites, they're like, oh, we're not black because you have this history. We're Dominican.
Right.
Without realizing, we all from the we're literally all fighting the same fight.
I just want to say what you made me think of when there's a theme of like, again, that's how deep anti-blackness is and worldwide.
Right.
When you talk about like colorism, where everyone's trying to be like, oh, I'm not that. Right. And that's why it's so great when Beyonce makes Black is King and shows all the different, like how beautiful black is, all the different tones. Africa is amazing. All these folks come from Africa. Everybody, that's where everything started. So everyone should be like loving up on the motherland.
Right. And that's where all the culture comes from at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, boom, the Dominicans is in New York, boom, in Washington Heights, and they're like...
They got far. I like how they skipped over Florida.
No!
They were like, no, New York.
Right, boom, state, right. So, we come here, and they say stupid
shit. Y'all were like, I want some snow. Like, we're like, I don't know what, the weather's terrible in New York. I don't know why y'all went there. You all should have came out here to California.
It's crazy because there's not a lot of Dominicans out there. It's not a large...
There's none.
So it's like, I'm about to fuck shit up though when I go to LA, right? So boom, yes, now we're here. And the thing is that Dominicans look so vastly different. Like even in my own family, like my father is a white man. My mom is more like, you're like, what? Yeah.
You told me before.
Right, if you see my father, like when you look at my family, I look adopted. I used to talk about how I was adopted. I don't know. Y'all brought me. I don't know none of y'all. Like, and my dad was like, stop saying that shit. It's not funny no more. So we're in the States. And the thing is that then you have the Afro-Latinas, right? And Zoe Saldana is clearly an Afro-Latina, right? But the issue with Afro-Latinidad is that some people have the experience where they grow up and you're a first generation here and people just categorize you like, oh, you're black, but black shorthand as like black American, not just like, from the diaspora. And then you have the Latinos that are on Telemundo and like, okay, whatever. Okay, J-Lo, your favorite backup dancer, your five backup dancer. Right.
She is.
You love saying that.
Where'd she go? I can't see. I just see a mob of people dancing. She's so good. She blends in.
So on top of like all the anti-blackness and colorism that happens in the Dominican culture, one thing that kind of happens when you identify as both black and Latinx, you don't really know in entertainment what kind of roles you should do that are kind of like, you're not taking space from somebody, but this is also part of your story, right? I didn't have an issue when Zoe Saldana was in Avatar. Okay, alien, do your thing. I didn't have an issue when Zoe was the light-skinned girl, like whatever, the sorority girl in Drumline, because she looks black. She's a black woman. But then, yeah. This is,
or when she played Gamora in Guardians of the Galaxy, like, okay, alien girl, right. She has an alien theme.
Or when she was Britney Spears' best friend in Crossroads. Okay.
Crossroads, never forget. Okay. Never forget.
Written by Shonda Rhimes. Don't stop.
I know. Oh. I'm there for it. Live life all day. I do have a question though too, but I wonder, because this would happen sometimes, like a lot of Black British actors will talk about this, of why they take on these roles, because some people will be like, well, you've never really lived that experience of a Black American, like how can you take that on? Like when they come for, like, I forget the guy who played Martin Luther King, or you know, Thandi Newton has talked about this before as well. Mm. But there's so few roles for them where they, like, in the UK, so they came over here, and there is a certain pedigree of, like, oh, you're British, you're an amazing actor. And I would imagine, too, as Zoe Saldana, like, she is a Black woman or woman of color. She's like, well, ain't a lot of roles probably coming for me.
No, this is a problem. I'm going to say what the problem is. This is a problem
where
you could still be Black and still step over your line. Because we have to think about Blackness in, like, it's the same thing where you were saying, like, Black and Brit in is it London? I'd be calling British in London. Right, you're like, okay, yeah. Right. There's Blackness everywhere. And it's okay if you're just playing a role that it's like, you know, I'm here for the appearance and I'm elevating this role and I'm doing my job as a character, whatever you want to call it. But when you're playing a historical figure, I feel like that's a different.
Totally.
That's a different level of discernment.
I wasn't giving her an out. I was saying, like, in her mind where she is, she's like, I'm not getting a lot of work. I love this woman. Right. I can. And the conversation was different. Like, how much the conversation has evolved. Like, right. I played, not proud of it, but it was a different time.
Tell us, Jay.
Because even when I was growing up, my mom was like, as an actor, she's like, oh, you could play all these different, because back in the day, like 10 years ago, yeah, it was seen as a gift if you could play different races. Like, yeah, ooh, look at you. You could play different races, right? Like Jessica Alba, like, she can, who knows, right, who she is. Vin Diesel, like, you know, and my mom would say how much, like, I could play all these different roles and parts. And I was like, oh, yeah, look at all these things. I could play all these different roles and parts. And now, like, oh, I would never. But I have played, like, I played an Egyptian high schooler once.
But like, I don't feel like that's in... I guess I don't really feel like that's an issue when it's like not a historical figure. Like you're playing, because, like, for example, in On My Block, there was the lead.
Oh, I love On My Block. Ooh,
she's supposed to be an Afro-Latina woman, but she's a yeah, in the cast, the role was written for an Afro-Latina, right? But she's a Black girl with like regular Black American. But I don't have an issue with that, because you're aesthetically, we all kind of look alike. It's fine. Like, right. I'm doing my it's not like I'm like pursuing something and amplifying a story of somebody that is, we're talking about legacy here, right? So and that's why I kind of, like, people have issues with the girl who played Harriet Tubman, but that's a different conversation, because I know we got drama from that film. I don't want to rehash.
Oh man, we going back to our greatest,
right? Did you see that's a problem.
Do you need, I will find out what streaming platform is. I will get you my password and you can sit and
You know what I did see? And it's by the same director. The story of Madam C.J. Walker and how she lied.
Oh, yeah.
There were lies. And I was like, you know what? That's a different Minority Corner guest. That's a like special hits one.
You didn't like the Madam C.J. Walker 4-part series with Octavia Spencer?
I thought that it was dope, but thought that there were lies. Like, I was like, wait, who is this? Why are they like? It was kind of disgusting that they put a light skinned woman against a darker skinned woman, and they kind of made drama off of that, and I didn't like that. And if you look into the
colorism aspect,
right? If you look into the history, she was actually mentoring Madam C.J. Walker, and then she I don't think they were like best friends, but they. It wasn't like they was hating on each other.
I did feel like they were just, it felt like they were just amplifying the drama of things, you know?
Right.
It felt like it was more pulpy than, I feel you on that.
Right, like, so I was like,
But I did enjoy the story of, like, knowing that some of the remnants of this are true, of, like, her story and, like, being the first self-made, you know, millionaire. So snaps to that. But so, okay, I get you.
But back to Zoe. Right. The thing about Zoe, right, she's a great actress. She was, I think at one point, she was, like, one of the most highest paid, like, Afro-Latina.
She was so sought after. I mean, that's how she was getting all these. She was getting Avatar. She was getting the Marvel movies. She was getting, like, and at the same time, kind of like when you get to that problem of, like, Halle Berry shouldn't be playing Storm, but when you only know two black actresses.
Wait, why can't she be playing Storm?
Because Storm's an African goddess. Holly Berry should not be playing someone.
We gotta have a panel on this as Hollywood, because I'm like, wait a minute. What?
She's so you need like Lupita Nyong'o or Angela Bassett or the girl who is in Queen and Slim. I forget her name, but she's phenomenal and amazing. But you need just someone who commands blackness.
No, yeah.
You know? Talk to Beyonce. She knows some people. She could cast someone for you.
We got the whole diaspora.
But when you know how, when you only know Halle Berry, you're like, oh, we need a black person. Halle Berry's a very nice woman. She comes to work ready to work.
Do you know her? You're like, she's mad. I've done background for her.
Because I know this because it's like, there's a reason when you see certain people who work a lot in Hollywood, it's because they're nice and they're easy to work with. Like, because like, you can't be a shit anymore. Like, because people, like, they're on time. There's so many actors. You can't be a Joan Crawford anymore. You're not beating anybody with a wire hanger. Like, if you're terrible to work with, you're gone. Sorry, Leah Michelle, you're gone.
Woo!
You're gone. When you're ever like, oh, why doesn't so-and-so work too often? It could be sexism, or it could be that they're a terrible person.
I love that we have options now. Like, it could be either or. But, you know, I feel like this is hard. I think it's a lot to unpack, right? Because it's something that this story is important to me, because as I'm becoming the legendary comedian that I'm becoming.
You are.
I also think about some of the roles that I might play. And it's like, do I have to create my own opportunities? Is it okay if I play, like, a black girl in high school, you know, like, I don't know. So it's, and that's what you have to do.
Are you playing a high schooler?
Ooh, I mean, you look young. Insane! Oh, God. Wow.
I'm just surprised you went there. Why not college?
I was thinking Glee. You talked about Glee. I was like, I don't know. Like, I could be Glee. I don't know.
I love you, but you maybe have age.
I gotta do Crossroads. I'm Crossroads age. Okay, right?
You're like going, yeah, you're doing okay. Crossroads. You could do a 21-year-old for sure. You might, you know what? You could do a high school senior. She got left behind for a year, but like she.
I'm done. But anyways, the point of the story is that I've been like thinking about this a lot. And when I saw that Zoe was doing Nina, my immediate reaction was, nah, sis. Nah. And like,
didn't they have to darken her skin?
That's
for
what
her
they
to
had
do
to
it?
Do dark. They had to do blackface. They had to do prosthetic nose. And on top of that, like, it's one thing if you're going to go against the grain, and that movie is undeniably good. But then I watched the movie. It was bad. Like, what? Yeah. And it was like, I think the concept was by white women as well. So it's like, not only are you.
Because she was like, I know Zoe. She's black. I'll let her do this part.
But she was black to Zoe. At that time, Zoe was like, I don't really see race. I'm just a woman.
I'm looking at a picture of Nina Simone, and there's no reason for Zoe Saldana to have ever played this part. You know what? There's an actress who should play that part. She was in Chewing Gum.
Oh, Michaela Cole. That's my baby.
She should play Nina Simone. She could play Nina Simone. And she has that show on HBO, which is so powerful. I've only seen the first two episodes.
I May Destroy You.
Woof. That's we can talk show. About that on another day, because that show is powerful.
Right. Even bigger than just like, because sometimes you see these biopic roles and you're like, okay, this person does not look like Jackie Robinson at all. But the thing about Nina's story is that her black features was such a big part of her music career. And she was a civil rights activist. And this was like, I am black. I am a black woman. And there's no like intermixing. Like, this is who I am. This is like, I have this pain. I'm singing about it. Strange Fruit, all that shit. And Zoe, being of Dominican descent, is like, I hear you, sis. You are black. I'm not taking away your blackness. I'm happy for you. But this is a black American story. And I think that's what's happening with the Afro-Latinidad movement. It's like, oh, I'm black and I'm proud. But now you're overshadowing and co-opting the story, the narrative of the black American experience. So it's like, yeah, we all have our trials and tribulations. But you have to understand, you're still first generation black in America. Like, you're not black American, like born here and like kind of like the inheriting of like whatever the civil rights movement was, right? Like, we're obviously we can continue that and be allies, and not really allies, we're what's the word, when accomplices, we're accomplices. But this is also not our, it's not our, I think there's just some stories that you don't have to be part of everything. Well,
And I think what it means is like, well, let's go tell those stories, right? Let's tell more of those stories, because there are like amazing stories of the Dominican history or the Afro-Latino like history. Like, we need to be telling those stories and creating spaces for that, because everyone's stories are important. Everyone needs to be able to have that experience when they see themselves on TV and or in the movies, and they feel reflected, like they feel seen, they feel empowered, they feel like, oh, that's my history. We need to get more of those stories out there.
But I do have a question for you, because you know, you are an actor, you have done the work.
I mean, I am a SAG actor now.
The card!
I voted recently. We had a think about residuals. Okay. And I voted.
Okay.
I voted no. I think I voted
but
no.
But I feel like in this climate, we're kind of moving more to, I know, like I haven't acted, like I'm just doing comedy, but at some point, you know, Hollywood will call me. But at this point, we're moving more away from like you were saying, like, okay,
play I'm a high schooler.
I'm gonna play an ambiguous race, whatever. You don't know. But now it's like things are kind of more specific. How do you feel about that? Like, do you think it needs to be like true to that, or are there certain circumstances? Like, I just for me, I feel really compassionate to say this was a really bad move for Zoe, and I only bring it up because she recently was apologizing and saying that was a really that was a really bad career move, and she should have gave, because part of being a Black woman is a Black, maybe like Dominican Black, I don't know, is understanding where you can also be part of a project and give space to somebody else to do that. Like, you could have maybe, I don't know, like been a producer on the project or something. I don't know. But what do you feel about, like,
and this was, oh my God, I'm seeing the pictures. And this
right.
is not good.
Please look.
Oh, it's bad.
There's like scenes, and like there's like her like co-stars and like friends in Hollywood. Like, what do you think about Zoe playing that? And all you see is like, well, you know, we have to wait till the film comes out. It's just like,
yikes. I love Zoe. Listen, everyone makes, you know, and I think it's, I understand why she said yes. I'm connected to this piece. I love this person. I want to lift this up. Also, too, it's like when you're a Black woman, like how much work is really coming your way. Like, yeah, she was really sought after.
But
and I think it takes, James. I think it does take guts for her to be able to, like, I understand why she said yes, and I appreciate that she would not do that again. So I think, like, in the conversation has changed. Like I said, like, we're having the conversation right now. Like, I think, like, it's, I don't think if it's, I don't think I should be playing like a Central American character, unless, like, maybe there, it would depend on the project, right? If, like, you know, I'm playing a Black, like, an Afro-Latino person, but I
totally
think, like, at the same time,
in an Afro-Latino role, I was like, you kind of look Dominican. I see it, because we're not Zoom, everybody.
my mother said that all the time. I think I'd like to create space for that someone of that descent. Like, there's an actor out there who could probably play and connect with the material that much more, especially if it is about that experience, then like let them do it. And then let me have like the queer Black American character, Idris Elba. Oh. Get out of here. Don't take my part.
I just want to.
I want to.
You want to talk about it?
I don't. Not a fan.
I want to read a quote
from
Nina Simone's estate. They said, cool story, ooh, but yeah. Please take Nina's name out your mouth for the rest of your life.
Wow.
I
want to get your opinion real quick on this, though, on speaking of the Latinx community, like John Lee. So the Emmys came out. And a vast amount of Black people are nominated. Argo, Kerry Washington.
Kerry, a friend of the podcast. She actually watched one of my Instagram story videos.
She told me thank you for coming when I went to her show, when I went to go see American Son. She put me in her Instagram story and was like, thank you for coming. And people were like, your friends is Kerry Washington? And yeah.
James, we never gonna let this die. We never gonna let it die.
No, why does it always go to American Son? Like, I don't. Anyways.
We were deeply retrograde. We were going through a lot.
There was a lot happening. Okay, but moving forward, though, like, because there's a lot of Black actors and Black work being nominated. And then John Leguizamo, I guess, there's not a, the Latino representation is still abysmal when it comes to the nominations. But, you know, Black nominees have definitely gained ground. And I think it's also important, too, to think about, like, the historic, like, the context of what's going on. And that the Emmys are paying attention, because like everyone has sent like all these different, like they're sent so many shows to watch and review, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling what happened is during June, when people are reviewing this stuff, they're seeing the Civil Rights Part 5 take place, and they're specifically making sure they're watching more non-white content than they normally would. Like Black people have been snubbed for so long, and John Leguizamo is like, "Hey, can't we get a piece of the pie? Like, what's going on?" And I had a question about this because I say yes, like, oh my God, there should be absolutely more Asian American representation, Southeast Asian representation, Latinx, indigenous folks, Middle Eastern. But I think it sucks that, like, can we have this? Can we have this?
You sound like you sent him a voice memo. John. Can we have this moment?
John, can we just have this moment, John Leguizamo, please?
I'm happy. You know what? I'm happy that this article came out when I was on this podcast because I have thoughts. I've always had thoughts.
Yes.
I feel like the Latinx, I never felt like I was part of the Latinx community. I sometimes try to find like these, like, you know, I see BuzzFeed videos. I'm like, okay, I relate to that. And then others, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm not part of this conversation. Like, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And the thing is that, I feel like before I say this, first generation, and I only speak for first generation because I don't know. I guess I have to figure out my history. But the Black, until Black Americans get what is owed to them, who have led the way for us. Like, we have to think about it as first generation. We're coming in on a fight that was already started. And I'm not just talking about in the media. We're talking about in civil rights. The rights that we have, we are afforded. And obviously, like, there were, like, Afro-Latinos and Latinos that were part of, like, the movement, and it's not really prominent as, you know, as just, like, you know, Martin Luther King. But they were there. But the Black liberation is first. It comes first. And it's, like, they've been snubbed. Everything, the Black American experience has not been cute in this country. It just has not.
And not then, at all.
And that's reflected in the media. And it's like, I hear you. I hear the Latinos. But that's also a white Latino blind spot, because it's taken away from the fact that Jarrell Jerome last year was the first Afro-Latino to win an Emmy. It's taken away from the fact when Gina Rodriguez wants to be like, oh, when can we get Latinx Wakanda? Tessa Thompson is an Afro-Latina that was in, she was in Black Panther.
She was in Thor Ragnarok, but she was in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
She's in Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have more Latinx visibility. What I'm saying is that first, as a community, we need to understand that Afro-Latinos are excluded from that narrative. Let's get our community together first.
You were the one that brought to my attention that I have never, because I used to have to watch Telemundo for Spanish class.
Right.
And I never seen a darker skin.
Wait, I'm just like, this is very personal.
Wait.
Like, I was on Channel 47, like, watching novelas to learn Spanish.
I was part of my homework an hour a night. I had to watch Telemundo. And I never saw a darker skinned Latinx person.
Right. You just see
because we also talk about, we know this, that like a huge amount of the slaves that came out of Africa went to South America.
And the Caribbean.
Right? So there's a huge population there, and then I've not really seen them being represented. I've never seen at all, or a show that features them as the lead or in the cast or on the picture at all. I've never seen it. It's always the fair skinned Latinx folks.
I think when we do see it, we just assume, oh, they're just Black, like Black American. But there are people that they're just, and it's fine to assume that, but it's like, this is a community that embraces me, so I'm gonna go with the flow. Right. I don't know if you've seen Insecure. I mean, obviously, I think we've seen Insecure here. Okay, but Dro from season 3, the one that Molly was sleeping with.
Oh,
he's Afro-Latino, but you don't know that. You just think, there's a bunch of people. Actually, like, if you look at a lot of the artists in Hollywood, there are a lot of Afro-Latinos. There's a lot of Afro-Latinos.
The history is there. And I, I feel like it needs to be talked about more, and I feel like we need to tell more of those stories because it's another lane that we really need to sort of open up more. Right. Because, you know, when I you know, you and Sunny Houston are two of the people in media that
Hello.
I
those are, that's my
to
cousin.
The most. And I love it because
thank you for putting me up there with her.
Because I love it because she talks about both of the mm-hmm. experiences of it, and it's both near and dear for her to her heart and her experience, and it's such. It's she's rich with it, and I feel like there's so many stories that just need to be told because you could be like in or out of the other. And I think she said that there was some magazine
Essence.
That I think she was Latinx magazine.
People.
And it was the first time like a dark no, it was like a like Latin people or Latin.
Oh, Latina.
And I think she was like the first Afro-Latina to grace the cover.
Oh, I thought, because I saw like a thing that she did with Essence where she talks about it, but that's probably okay. The truth. And the thing about that I want to talk about with Sunny, I didn't even know she was Afro-Latina until I started doing some research. And on top of that, it's interesting that John and both Dasha, you know, who I respect them, that, you know, you have to respect people that have blazed the trails.
But
Dasha Polanco from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, yeah, I love her.
Because she was like, oh, well... She made a comment that was very ambiguous and kind of said, like, Black people only care about their liberation, but not other people's liberation, which is, and it was very, I'll send you the tweet. You were like, oh part no. three, you know, but it was ambiguous.
I don't want to have to cancel her.
Right. You were like, oh,
give her space to grow. I give her space to grow. But you know what? Here's the thing. People can be canceled, but they can also be renewed. So, like,
but I think there's a difference between cancel and, like, consequences or, like, you know, a friendly check. Yeah, it's like...
Or put you on pause. Yeah. I'm going to pause
I'm going to put you on pause.
I'm going to pause you. I'm put you on pause.
Like, it's hard.
I like that, too.
Right. Because you can't think that everybody... Nobody's perfect. People are going to say stupid shit. But the thing is that, like, those are blind spots and privileges. And it's funny that both John and Dasha were in When They See Us, which is the film that Jerome wrote, I mean, won for. And a Black American woman gave space to the people that are not being visible. So I just feel like it's interesting that when the Latinx community gets upset, they don't make space for Black people. They don't. But then Black people always make space for them. The Wayans brothers made space for your favorite backup dancer, for Jennifer Lopez. And what, like, I've never really seen her make space for
doing her stuff. You're right. I've never seen her music videos. Is she putting, like, you know, Black men as the love interest in her videos? Like, I don't.
As a fetish.
Well, I will say in Hustlers, she did do. I saw Hustlers.
Okay, she put Kiki, and that's gonna make up for everything she's done in her career.
She put no. Who was the rapper lady? Grandma. Oh, what's her name? Cardi B was in it.
Yeah, but that doesn't count because that was a money grab. It was just like, I'm going to just put all the diversity coins in here and, like, make money and, like, I'm doing it. But she's not.
Right.
And I guess it's not everybody's responsibility to be vocal about it. But it's just like the Latinx community first. They have the people and we need to create all our opportunities as well, but also pay homage to, like, wow, it is so great to see that Black Americans are getting recognized, that Issa Rae is getting recognized. And I can't wait until we expand upon that and we all get recognized. That's all you
as
have to say.
To like,
why did I get picked? Like, why nobody picked me? Like,
what about me? Because otherwise it's being like crabs in a barrel, right? Where the crabs, like, what crabs do is they try to bring, when one crab tries to get out, it brings the other one down.
Right.
And so it's like, know that, like, again, that trailblazing, because, like, it goes back to the original point. Like, Black Lives Matter. So once we know that Black people have equality, then we know everyone, or, like, specifically, like, when we know that Black trans women have equality, we know we're good, right? Because we know everyone's made it. So it's like celebrating that, because it's like, yours is coming. It's coming too. We got you, right?
It's like,
all win.
On top of that, the shows that were nominated, that were, like, reviewed, I was like, All My Block was great. Granted, it's a little problematic because there's a white showrunner, but it was still a really good show. I'm going to let her have it. But some of the other shows, it's like, they're so white Latinx. Like, we're moved past that conversation. Like, I'm sorry. Like, maybe move past the conversation and do something for the culture and be like, yo, we're going to go back and really talk about how the slave ship stopped in the Dominican Republic. We're going to have stories about how the Dominican Republic and Haiti have issues. We're going to talk about Blackness in South America. We're going to talk about the dance, the culture, instead of these, okay, there's a white version of this, and now we're going to make the Latinx version of this show that already exists. Like, No, like, right. Let's actually do. And I feel like it always falls on the people that are the oppressed the most to make those stories happen and then be like, mm-hmm. and fight for that, which is like where I feel like my next level of creativity is coming to. So long story short, I went on a rant, but Zoe Saldana shouldn't have played Nina Simone. End of story.
Fair. All right. Zoe, and you've already apologized. We appreciate, but we're just double downing on shouldn't have played that part.
Right.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, Helen. Hey, you've got another true-false quiz for me?
Yep. Our trivia podcast, Go Fact Yourself, used to be in front of a live audience.
True. Turns out that's not so safe anymore.
Correct. Next. Unfortunately, this means we can no longer record the show.
False. The show still comes out every first and third Friday of the month.
Correct. Finally, we still have great celebrity guests answering trivia about things they love on every episode of Go Fact Yourself.
Definitely true.
And for bonus points, name some of them.
Recently, we've had Ophira Eisenberg, plus tons of surprise experts like Yardley Smith and Suzanne Summers.
Perfect score.
Woo-hoo.
You can hear Go Fact Yourself every first and third Friday of the month with all the great guests and trivia that we've always had. And if you don't listen, well, then you can go fact yourself.
That's the name of our podcast.
Correct.
Woo.
I've seen West Side Story. I saw a really beautiful rendition of it in New York. They did, it was like all POCs pretty much. They did an amazing, like, oh, it was so dope. But every time that song comes on, I giggle because I just think about
it.
Our
is hilarious. It is hilarious.
Let's switch into your corner.
Oh, no. Speaking of violence. Wow, I'm sorry, I'm being so giggly. No, I'm not. Why am I apologizing?
No, don't apologize.
It's a statement.
We've got to have the giggles.
I'm feeling silly. I'm feeling
silly. The giggles are important. That's what makes the podcast. Otherwise,
no,
this show could be sad.
Great, because I'm also feeling like a little tired, you know, a little
tie-tie?
Mentally fatigued. You know?
Fair. All fair.
We're talking about a lot of things. And
these are heavy. There's a lot of shit going on.
Making sure you're taking care of yourself, right?
Where's my oxygen mask?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Very good. But my corner, huh? Yeah.
Obvious corner. Violence.
Goodness. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, okay. Didn't mean to jump the gun.
Whoa.
Okay.
I think I love talking about, and maybe you do too, but romantic, intimate relationships, partnerships, love. What is it? And I have been in many relationships, I think. Not I think, I know. When I look in my history, I've had a lot of relationships with people. And, you know, my own thing of like, why? Why is that? What? We're not going to get into that right now. But anyways,
I mean, we can.
I don't feel like it.
You're like, we don't have the time. You love love, and you are not afraid to crash and burn and get back up from the plane ride because you are strong.
Right. But the getting back up and then learning something from it and changing, doing something differently. And again, this is a little call back to what we mentioned earlier around me being called out on social media about some ways that I was showing up in my partnerships that were harmful. And toxic in a way, not toxic in a way. I'm using words and language, it's like I'm just gonna say harmful and toxic.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, recently, one of my therapists. Oh my goodness, I was.
Damn, how many you got? Oh, well, they got problems. No, not judging.
I was. Oh my gosh.
One of my therapists, because you got to have different ones for different things. I get it.
No,
you
no.
Got a team.
Quick backstory, okay? I had moved to Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles at the beginning of the year, this year, and my job was to find a new therapist here in Los Angeles that I could see long term. I started that process and then I dropped the ball and I wasn't proactive. And there was a moment where I felt very much in crisis. So I reached out to the therapist that I was working with in Chicago, where I had just moved from. And she agreed to meet with me on the sly once a week. But anyways, in our last session, she, because I did find a therapist here in Los Angeles, and I have started seeing this person via telehealth, virtual I've had like two sessions with her so far. It's so far so good. But still.
Okay, good.
It feels like a starting over, you know?
Yeah.
And
I had therapists, and I've not had a new therapist since I moved from San Francisco to New York. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, because yeah. I was such a deep connection for 3 years. Like, they knew me, and just, you know, starting that back up again. It's you're trying to start a deep, intimate relationship with somebody real fast.
Exactly.
You're going to open up and tell them everything, exactly. And they've got to know you.
Good. But then maybe it's because I've done all that work. Then it's here. It's here. And yeah, let me give it to you. Let's dig in and let's do it. But anyways, this last therapist in Chicago sent me these wheels that have to do with like power and control and equality in intimate queer partnerships. And it's from the New York City Anti-Violence Project. I sent you a link. So if the kids
we'll put it in the show notes.
Take a peek. Because,
the Anti-Violence Project is so dope. They were actually, not to bring it back to that documentary, but they are featured in the Marsha P. Johnson documentary.
Yes.
And oddly enough, it's my friend Matt who's representing the Anti-Violence Project. I didn't know he was in the documentary, either having sort of like a Skype or like a Google Hangout conversation before Google Hangout was like the thing that it is today, or Zoom Talk before, you know, Zoom became the thing.
Right.
And it's my friend Matt is just there in the documentary because he used to be the board of directors of the Anti-Violence Project.
Yeah. Whoa.
He's not anymore. At the time, like he was there for when the cameras were there, and then he left.
Oh dear. Okay. Hey, you know, do what you got to do.
Yeah. Anyways, sorry to derail. Give me that power wheel.
No, you're fine. But anyways, I'm currently in a relationship now, right? And so I'm thinking about a lot of the ways that I have been called, that things have been pointed out to me, but also me taking it upon myself to be like, wow, I was doing that. But seeing the habits or those cycles still appearing now, right, in this relationship, and of course, like, that's not something that I'm like feel great about. I feel awful about that, and it's a thing. But anyways, these wheels kind of break down a lot here, where I have them here. But the first diagram, it says LGBT, but power and control wheel, and it addresses like the ways or the tactics that power and control can be exercised in relationships, like queer partnerships. But it goes beyond the things that we usually jump to, which is like, you know, homophobia, biphobia, transphobia, because that's real in partnerships. Like we were talking about, like within the queer community, right? Like there's still that discrimination there. The things that it mentions is like entitlement, and this one's one that I was really looking at, and underneath it says entitlement, treating partner as inferior, race, education, wealth, politics, class privilege or lack of, physical ability, and anti-Semitism, demanding that needs always come first, interfering with partner's job, personal needs, and family obligations. So basically it's like a whole wheel where it's like psychological and emotional abuse, threats, physical abuse, economic abuse, sexual abuse, intimidation, isolation, restricting freedom. But like, there's so much under it where it's like, I'm like, damn, let me really look at this. Let me like really see like what am I questioning or like, oh, that is something I've done, or, you know, it's just getting
real.
This wheel
is so amazing. Thank you for bringing this. I'm going to try to jump in here, but like, I think I love this because it's like, you know, sometimes like it can be so challenging because sometimes like you're like, I like to Google everything I can when I'm in a relationship. I'm like, I'm feeling this. And I run to Google, right, for relationship advice, which is terrible because someone's written a blog and it just either confirms your worst theories or ideas. But a lot of times it's all sort of from a straight lens. And there's certain things that we deal with in our community that other people just don't as much. Like, I also like that there's, you know, HIV-related abuse, that threatening to reveal HIV status to others, blaming partner for having HIV. There's a lot of sort of stigma and things, and there's a power dynamic, and it's so interesting just sort of dealing with, like, powers, or, like, biphobia is on here. I think that is, like, such a thing, even like, you know, gay men who at their partner who is bi, I know that there's been issues around that, or like if there's, you know, two women and one of them is bi and one of them is not, like there can be power dynamics in that, how it can be used to shame the other person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And it's just, I don't know. It's something I'm still learning about too. And it's just, it's interesting. Then on the flip side, I didn't send you the equality. It's like, it's like the opposite of things. I can just,
so this one is like, dig in here, like what are you doing, and then like how do you come out on the other side,
like
of it?
What is, yes, like, oh, what is nice. What is the alternative, what is the you know, healthier ways of
side
doing
of
but
things.
But basically, like what I had said, it was entitlement is replaced with empowerment. So empowerment is recognizing and respecting a partner's background, including race, class, education, wealth, politics, ability, religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity, recognizing partner's needs and obligations as equally important to one's own. So,
I love that. Yeah. So it's like building your partner up as opposed to like taking away from them. Almost sort of like, you know, someone always said that a relationship should be like two binary stars helping each other shine bright, as opposed to like a black hole which sucks out the light from the other star.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I have to be real. I feel like I've been doing some just not cute.
That's
things.
So weird. I've never dated you. I've only been your friend, and we laugh and we giggle and have really serious conversations. So it's so wild to me. I mean, I can't. You know your life, but like you to me are my. You're a binary star in my life. Like you help me shine brighter.
Right. Well, that's the thing, though. Right. It's like friendships are different
because we're
like
not fucking
right. Partnerships. Like there's like different dynamics and relationships and attachment
down.
And all these things.
I'm a great friend. Yeah. I am a mess to date.
Oh, you and me both. Let's just say it, okay?
Yeah, I turn into my worst selves come out. But I think also too is partnering with the right person who's going to help bring that best side out of you, you know,
sure.
Who will
yeah.
also help the it's a two person dance too.
Right.
I think that I know for myself, I right. was with people who I wasn't able to be my best self around, or just the worst things were sort of coming out.
Yeah. Yes. But what
I have
is
a question.
It? Take responsibility. That's.
Oh, yeah. Can I ask you, what is the opposite of, oh, shit. I can't see
okay,
it.
Go ahead. Ask
what's
me.
The opposite of... So there's one that says psychological and emotional abuse.
Ooh.
Can I read this one?
Oh, my
this
gosh.
This one seems...
Please.
I feel like I've been in this one a lot.
Oh, gosh.
Not,
yes,
that's been done to
yes.
me. Not to victimize myself, but I feel like I fall into this pattern where I allow
sure.
this to happen.
Sure.
So psychological and emotional abuse, that part of the wheel says criticizing constantly, using verbal abuse, insults and ridicule, undermining self-esteem, trying to humiliate or degrade in private or public, manipulating with lies and false promises, denying partners reality. I feel like I've experienced that a little bit. I can say that I probably have tried to not human. These are very strong words, but I think it's meant to be that, to be like, this is what you're doing, you know? But like, I think I, you know, well, sometimes like if I'm kind of, I'm with a partner, we're not necessarily getting along, but we're with other people or other couples, that I'll kind of like publicly tease them. Like, oh, you know, like you can kind of air out your grievances a little bit, where you're like, yeah, well, you always fall asleep with the TV on, but you know, like, it's a dig, but it's done in a joke and you're getting it out in front of everybody. I
right.
definitely have been that. But I have definitely experienced the psychological and emotional abuse from
yes,
partners.
I hear you. And you wanted to know what the
yeah, what would be the opposite? Don't be an asshole?
No, I'm trying to... For some reason, it doesn't feel like some of the slices of the
match
wheel match up. But I... Tell me if
can you give
you
me
think
one to
one
cure
might
that?
Be... Okay, it's either emotional support.
That sounds right.
Okay, it says, well, it says very straightforward, acknowledging partner's reality, saying positive things, and being supportive of them in public and in private. Support them as they build a positive sense of self.
That sounds beautiful. I love this wheel because you can look at the thing, and then the antidote to it, it's very straightforward, and it's a lot of like... getting out of your own way, like releasing your ego, being there for the other person. Like relationships are going to bring up a lot of your own personal like trauma and past hurts, but it doesn't give you permission to, you need to, your partner to work through it with your partner. And a lot of it's just sort of like letting go, releasing, supporting, and really unconditionally loving, right? Like we all have shit, but it doesn't give you permission to just, well, I have this and I went through this. It's like, no, let's work through that.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Release it.
Yeah, oh yes. Oh yes, doing it.
Let's do some more of these. These are fun.
Oh my gosh, you want one more? One more.
Well, what would be the opposite to the HIV related abuse one that we had said?
Sure.
Because I've dated a guy who was HIV positive and I just want to make sure I wasn't an asshole.
Do you want to read what it says under?
Yeah, I think so. Again, I said for the HIV related one, I said threatening to reveal HIV stat. I feel like that one's easy. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't be supportive, I bet, is going to be the one of that. What about the biphobia one? So the homo biphobia one. It's a part of heterosexism, using awareness of fear and hatred of lesbian, gay, and bisexuals to convince partner of danger in reaching out to others, controlling expression of sexual identity and connections to community, outing sexual identity, shaming, questioning status as a real lesbian or gay man or bisexual.
Yes. That one, I think they linked into like trans empowerment, and then the other slice is lesbian, gay, bisexual empowerment. So that one I feel like responds to that one. So it would be, it just says supporting partner's identity and connections to the community, allowing partner to choose how to come out.
I feel like there's a theme of support your partner. I feel like every single one of those, correct me if I'm wrong, I bet like they all kind of release like, you know, support.
It does. It says like a lot of recognizing, support. Supporting. Oh my gosh. Yes. So many of the supporting, acknowledging.
Yeah. Yes. And so I think that's such an interesting thing. And that's also, too, I think something to look at too, are you getting that from your partner? And something that I like, assertiveness is, I do these things called angel cards every year for my birthday. And this year, one of the cards I drew was assertiveness. And it's been a thing that I've been trying to, I'm like, oh, okay, the universe is giving me this card for a reason. I'm going to practice assertiveness this year. And like, even to the fact, like, I'm staying with my cousin and I don't think he remembered exactly that it was my birthday. And it's a weird thing to sort of navigate. But I know that I was probably going to feel like hurt if I didn't like say something. And I was like, the card said assertiveness. And so I just said, oh, yeah, you know, it's my birthday. And then because I said that and I got what I wanted, I had a want and I asked for that want to be met of just acknowledgement. And then we had a great day. We sang and we danced. And, you know, as opposed to me in the other way, not being assertive, not asking for, not having the audacity of a mediocre white man, which is my motto these days. That's what they do. They're like, I want this, you know, they're mediocre and they just say what they want and they, you know, put it out there. They have that audacity.
Yes.
So, and I think a lot of times, you know, asking for what it is that we want, because knowing that like everybody deserves it. It's not so much like, oh, you deserve it. Yeah, everybody does. Everybody deserves happiness and joy and to have an attempt to have their needs, you know, met. And if you don't open your mouth, you don't eat, you know? And so I think knowing that we're worthy of that, you know, that, and I think like sometimes growing up, we maybe didn't feel like we were worthy of that because we were in our armor and our shell.
Sure. And like getting unstuck from that, it's like, I think it's such a part, like for me, it's just like such a large part. It's just like, how do I really like process, detach and heal and like able to flourish and thrive and move forward and not keep making the same mistakes? Because sometimes it feels like it's like I know and yet I'm still doing, you know. So it's like, it's a lot, like, right? But behavioral mental health care,
it's a, human beings are like, we're habitual creatures, and so there's the behavior of it. And it's, again, like we learn our oftentimes unhealthy ways of loving, how to give and receive love at a very early age. And so it's sort of unlearning that. And sometimes it just takes a few tries. And I think it's also being patient with ourselves, that like, it's a journey. It's not a destination.
Right.
That, like, it's always going to be there, and being kind to ourselves and loving ourselves, meeting ourselves where we are.
Right.
Because they even say that, like, in politics, when you're trying to have a debate with somebody, meet people where they are, but don't leave them there. Mm. Right. So meet yourself where you are, but don't leave yourself there.
Don't.
You're going to kind of push yourself along a little bit more as well. And same thing with your partners. Meet your partner where they are, but you don't have to leave them there. Not to control them, support them in the direction that they need to go in. And unconditional love is, like, non-transactional, right? There's no, you do this, I do that. Like, it's, I give and I give.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, Avi, thank you so much for this relationship reel. This is perfect. Summer of love. Summer, I think, especially love. Since, well, it can be inner love and outer love. I mean, because, like, I think we're going to have to get to our roots of, you know, I hope everybody, listen, I don't want to shame anybody for what they're doing, but we are in the middle of a coronavirus. And so I think hookup culture, I don't think this is the wise time to do it. You know, like, back in World War II, they had to, you know, melt all their scrap metal, right? Now you just can't fuck everybody. You know, you've got to have a quarantine with them for a few weeks, and then you can fuck them. And then when they leave, they need to quarantine for 2 weeks. Is that worth it? I don't know. But maybe going back to courting, like, you can use, you know, these is what you're looking for, a partner. You can use this wheel is great to sort of look at, you know, where you have maybe done some of these things to your partners, or where you have experienced some of these. Right. And then what's the antidote? What's the other side of that wheel? I think this is beautiful.
Awesome.
So we would definitely share this in the show notes. This
Please
is lovely.
Please do. Yes.
Yes. Thanks, Avi.
You're welcome.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation. Every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
Well, there is the show. Real quick, before we head out, sort of a fact check. You know, Gloria was talking about what race is, and we kind of glossed over it. And reading this book right now, doing the audiobook of it, highly recommend. Maybe you've done it. It's The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. It has informed a lot of the different dialogues that are happening now. This book came out in 2010. It heavily influenced the documentary 13th. It is eye-opening. It's amazing. Things that you think that you know, it just dives in even deeper. And really, the book explores that, you know, I mean, again, race, is, it's made up. And it has essentially been crafted to essentially create a caste system here in the United States. We do have a caste system. We have a class system, but it is based on race, and it is completely made up. Second thing I wanted to bring up, when Glory was talking about Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone, it kind of reminded me, when you talk about colorism, have you seen the image that Marvel has put out for this new Marvel game? It's a RPG game called Marvel Future Fight, and they released the photo. And now, I know that Storm is from Africa, but when we say Africa, we mean, like, African goddess, not Charlize Theron. This woman looks like some straight up Charlize Theron. She looks just like a white woman cosplaying as Storm. So y'all need to cut this shit out. Can't we have anything? Can't we? Lord. Okay, well, that's gonna do it for us this week. Some exciting news that I'm hoping to be able to announce for next week. You know I love a teaser, but really excited. Minority Corner, it's a growing, and it's all thanks to you, our wonderful listeners and our supporters out there. I love y'all so much. Thank you for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MakeItFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.